You're listening to Around Comics, episode 175.
Nobody saw it coming.
You're listening to Around Comics, the comic culture podcast roundtable, whatever the hell we call it nowadays.
We are Legion. Expect us.
This show is a little messed up today. We were supposed to be doing our club episode tonight, but unfortunately our host Chris could not make it.
We pushed it back 2 weeks now.
Yeah, I know.
2 weeks?
I wasn't here last week.
Oh, okay. I was like...
We were supposed to do it last week, and then... I had a thing, and then this week, Chris is sick, I suppose.
We're all having problems reading the book. We're all illiterate, and usually we've been able to get other people to explain the books to us. Hey, well, can you read this and tell me what you thought? Really, could you get more detail on the plot?
I usually have my daughter read it to me, and then explain it, and... but anyway, we're not going to be doing the club episode tonight. We will do it next week, hopefully. But in its place, we're going to try and just
do a normal show.
Just do a normal show. Although I didn't read any comics.
I read a lot of comics
really this week, so it's just going to be Tom talking about comics.
And I've made a pretty big. I mean, I've come pretty close to making a pretty big life decision this week.
You did.
So we'll talk. We'll
get to that.
We'll discuss that. And it kind of. I told Tom before that when he's talking about one of the comics he wants to talk about, the writer said something. I heard the writer say something that actually helped inspire
your move.
The decision.
The decision.
Yeah.
I'm really surprised that Marv Wolfman would have said anything that would have...
You never know with that guy.
Wow, that's amazing.
He can be incredibly poignant when you
Ryan
least
Wood,
expect
yeah.
it.
Well, I was reading an issue of Teen Titans, and it really spoke to me.
I mean, every time that Beast Boy...
He's always cracking jokes.
I decided to cut my arm off and replace it with a tiger arm.
A paw.
A paw.
Well, before we get into that, I'd like to remind everyone that this episode of Around Comics is sponsored by InStockTrades.com. I don't have the actual spot in front of me.
They sell all kinds of editions of books, like anything you can think of, hardcover, softcover, books that you can't open.
Yes.
Books that are just pages of loose art. Uh-huh. You'll just get a box of art sometimes.
Or you'll get two cans connected by two strings and
an
old man in a box that will tell you a story.
All right, well, I once ordered something from them. They were out of stock, and they sent a tiny artist in a box to draw me my own comic. And it wasn't that great, but I thought that... extra mile they go do for customer service to make sure I got something. It was 35% off, too.
They do offer just about everything at 35% or more off, and they carry all the different trades and hardcovers and editions that you're looking for, and shipping over $50 is for free, so go visit InStockTrades.com and tell them we sent you.
Feed your obsessive compulsiveness.
I'd also like to remind everyone that Around Comics is recorded from Dark Tower Comics at 4835 Northwestern Avenue.
Yeah.
In beautiful Chicago,
call ahead and ask for Chris Burnham's book.
Yes,
as everyone else, it seems this week has done.
If you're in the area of
Chi Vegas, the Windy City,
go grab some good food and leave us the fuck alone.
don't come
go
and
to
visit
a delicious
us.
Restaurant.
Yeah.
We probably won't
why
be
the
here.
Fuck waste your time?
I'll just look at you oddly.
So that's that's our intro and everything and. I don't know where to go with this.
People didn't understand when you
what
begin
we
a show.
Did was,
that's an intro.
We just introduced.
All right. Yeah.
I feel like we're like a bad comic book now, where we're just
explaining
filled with exposition.
Explaining what
here's
you
the
just
intro,
saw.
And
what
that
Scotty
was the
just
intro.
Did was make a joke. So laugh right now.
Don't keep doing that.
Tom pointed out that I made a joke just now.
Oh, good Lord.
It's and Sal told you not to do what I just did again.
Yeah.
All right. So are we going to do Top of the Stack?
I'm ready to go.
All right. So it's now time for Top of the Stack.
Top of the stack.
That's right. Top of the Stack. Our chance to tell you, the listeners, what we've been reading or not.
Or what Tom's been reading.
Or what Tom's been reading.
And we'll comment on it.
Yeah, we'll just
tell me if I'm reading
ask
wrong.
Questions.
Wrong!
American Idol. I don't like how you're talking about that.
You know, I think that you're...
Dog, what's up? I'm not feeling it,
You're Randy, I'll be Simon.
I'm not feeling it, dog.
You're not I agree with Randy. It's a little pitchy.
We've now reached a new low on this show, and we're mocking America. Yeah.
It's just a little pitchy.
That's what happened.
Your take on that book's a little pitchy.
I hate that.
I'm drunk like Paula is.
That woman is an idiot.
She's on drugs.
Well, hey, I don't care. I've been around a lot of people on drugs.
Let's save that for our American Idol podcast.
Okay, that's right. I forgot we were doing that.
We got to talk about life decisions.
All right. What have you been reading, Tom?
My top of the stack this week is Northlanders, number 3, written by Brian Wood, with art by David Gianfelice. I've been reading this from the beginning. It's only 3 issues in. And the first 2 issues were okay, but this was the first issue where I was like, oh, yeah, I can see where this story is going. It's kind of like with Sculpt, where I read the first 3, and it was the 4th one that sort of convinced me that there was actually
really gotcha.
A longer story that could make sense. It's about a Viking named Sven, who at some point in the past left his hometown to travel to the Middle East and became a warrior and a mercenary, comes back home to find that his evil Uncle Gorm has taken over the village.
Viking names.
Yeah. And it's got that very sort of basic storyline to it, but there's a nice couple story flourishes in it, and the fact that Sven's just like a total asshole.
Right.
He doesn't have any sort of redeemable qualities, really. He's manipulating anyone who's close to him to try and get back the money. He doesn't care about ruling the village that he's like the heir to ruling. He just wants the money, and then he's just going to leave again. Another touch to this is, and this is the part that I find the most interesting, got me hooked into it, is the idea of this sort of clash of 2 different sort of cultures of Gorm being this very superstitious, very religious, very non-rational sort of person.
Sort of paganist.
Who's mixed in with Sven, who's a very rational, very worldly person.
Right.
Also, the other Vikings don't necessarily think Gorm has it all together either. There's arguments about, during one point in this issue, Sven sets up a situation that someone who's superstitious will think it's a bad omen, and one of Gorm's lieutenants is like, this is insane. Why? We know it's him doing this. Why are you listening to this crazy, you know, old man who's telling you that this is some sort of sign from a god? Which I think is a pretty interesting situation to have set up. When the series had started, some of the pitch for it from Brian Wood is that I know it had sort of parallels to our own, I guess, world, with politics of the rational sort of meeting the irrational, and people whose decision-making is based on things that...
Faith.
Yeah, based on faith. Some things that some people would say are ridiculous, having clashes with people who, you know, are rational, and that happens everywhere, and it's probably a story that's throughout time, but this one just happens to be set in a really cool time period of Vikings, so you get sweet sword fights and, like, archery and giant boats. But I thought it was quite a nice story. And I got done, I closed, I was like, oh, I'm going to keep getting this. Because I kind of had doubts the first 2 issues. The art's solid, like most Vertigo books. They have a good
quality
artist. Good quality artist.
Who is
this? David Gianfelice does all the art for it.
The cover artist is it's like Massimo? Or
yeah, something like that.
Same artist who does the Why the Last Man covers.
Yes. Oh, okay.
Just awesome.
Beautiful.
Yeah. Awesome covers. I mean, just incredible. I check out his blog pretty much every day to see what he updates with all the Northlander covers and everything.
And this is an ongoing?
Yes. The first storyline's 8 parts. It's 3 parts, and so I imagine the first trade will be the whole first 8 8 issues.
And then is he going to go on with different Vikings, or?
I don't know. It's hard to say where this story is going to go, if Sven's going to be roped into. I mean, it's got a lot of classic features of a lot of stories. You know, here's someone, the prodigal son who left his hometown that sucks, and all you can say is, like, there's a whole world out there, and here's this shitty town where everyone is sort of spiraling downwards and no one cares. You know, it's. Transpose that to any movie about a kid who leaves their shitty hometown. I mean, it's got that same element to it. And I can see where it can go a bunch of different directions. It could follow Sven. He could somehow be roped into having to stay there, or for some reason he feels obligated to stay there for some reason. I could see it going any kind of direction.
I did read the first two issues of it, and I thought it was pretty interesting. Didn't expect that kind of book. I mean, even when it was announced, I wasn't sure what Brian Wood was going to do with it. I mean, the rest of his work has been
urban.
Yeah,
that's right. Yeah, and that has to do with what I was going to tell you.
A lot more surprising. I mean, just surprising to see this kind of a book from you. Wouldn't expect it, but
and it's action. It's got
a lot of action
in it.
It kind of reminded me of to some degree, like classic Greek mythology stuff, you know, like Odysseus and that kind of thing. Just in like I said, sort of those iconic stories, you know, where the son returning to the home and trying to get his kingdom back, that kind of thing.
Kind of, because he only wants money. But I also think, you know what it reminds me a little bit, too, is it reminds me of Warren Ellis's Creasy?
Yeah, I don't know.
The part where he's talking about how people in the past weren't stupid. They aren't any stupider than we were. It was just the situation in which they lived in. They didn't have the materials or the access to knowledge to live a better life. Right. They weren't any
naturally dumber than
we are. And that's kind of cool to see this Viking story where the characters aren't all like Thor speak. I know some people have a problem with uses the word like fuck and shit in the story. And, you know, like, but then the alternative is like, you have Doth stole, you know, like, if it doesn't fit the story. I mean, there's a place for that kind of language if you're telling a story.
Well, I think it might be, because I think initially I had a little bit of a reaction to the main character being, because I think I didn't at first pick up on the idea of him being sort of that rational, more worldly character compared to his hometown, which is a little bit more backwards or archaic. And so that combined with the language, it kind of threw me a little bit in the beginning, almost like, is this just – I mean, it's about Vikings, but is it just going to be a story today just happens to be, you know, Vikings? But no, I mean, you get that after a little while, I think. You sort of
you start
understand.
To see. I like the nice, you know, switcheroo that the Muslims of the world are the worldly ones that he attached himself to, and that the white blonde-haired people are the ones that are considered.
Well, that kind of goes back to, did you ever see, it was an Antonio Banderas movie, 13th
World? Yes, I have seen that movie,
which is kind of an interesting take on both sides of it, because you have, I can't think of where he came from now. It wasn't Egyptian.
You have like a culture. I mean, the whole reason why we know anything about ancient Greece or any of that is because the Arab world collected much of that knowledge, and they were the link to any of that classical learning, and they added so much learning to that that really, like, I think this takes place in like the 10th century BC. At that time, they were the sort of font of rational thinking, you know, scholarship and all that stuff, and people in Europe were backwards, you know. Worshipping gods with stag heads, and that's right. And you know, in modern culture, especially in America, I think you get a little bit of that. We forget the history of cultures. You know, we forget that there's
now. You look at third world
or Muslims have been around far longer. You know, they've been around before 9/11, and there's tons of them that aren't terrorists, and there's tons of them that have added so much knowledge to the world that it's interesting to see a book that kind of visually flips that around on you and says, you know, this is the world is more complicated than just like everyone else is stupid and we're smart and we're the worldly ones.
What?
Right. We're the ones that have to go teach people democracy.
Well, that kind of, you know, that actually is funny enough goes to something we were kind of talking about earlier today about the South.
Oh,
and
yeah,
how
yeah.
like the South, we, you know, everybody just sort of, if you hear a Southern accent, you sort of take 10, you know, deduct 10 or 15 IQ points off the top.
Yeah, well, yeah, living you in know. The North, I mean, growing up here in the North, there's always this stereotypical, what? You're going to go down there? Why would you go to the South for? It's like, you know, it's like this
stereotype.
Yeah, it's like the stereotype of uneducated.
Right.
And then recently I just started to go, you know, why is that stereotype still around? And, you know, what is it? Because I won't say that I'm not that. I mean, obviously growing up in the North, you're victim to being a dipshit yourself and falling into those traps.
True. There are no dipshits.
And when I and when I and I was walking through my neighborhood and I thought, well, you know, everybody thinks that, wow, you live in the South, you're uneducated, but yet I'm walking by, like, you know, fucking whores. I mean, like, and I'm not trying to be funny. I mean, whores, like prostitutes and drug dealers.
Go to Broadway on Uptown.
Yeah, in Uptown.
If you want to see, like, look at what
the
Mecca has to offer.
Look at how snobby we are, motherfuckers.
The Mecca of culture and education.
Yeah, and then again, like, you leave Illinois, you leave Chicago, and people forget the rest of Illinois is just, you know, small farming community. Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, it's very funny how one side can get very, very tunnel vision and snobby, overblown, and then forget to actually look in their own backyard and go, "Oh yeah, yeah, nobody's got an upper hand," you know.
Well, I didn't really read much this week, although I did go back and I've been slowly working my way through that anthology from Image Comics called Pop Gun.
How is that?
It's really good. I mean,
Greg's working on the next one.
He is
has
he?
Greg has a story in the next one. Greg Titus. Yeah.
Well, I just have an anthology thing to mention when you're done.
I've been slowly going through it. It's a perfect. I found it's a perfect book to have in the toilet because it's so big.
Little stories. Yeah.
Yeah. Small,
you
but they're
near
small
the
stories.
Toilet, not literally
yeah.
inside.
Yeah. Not
the
inside
toilet.
The toilet.
Keeps it very clean.
In the bathroom, in the restroom,
with the toilet talk.
And so I've just been slowly going through that with my bowel movements.
Oh, Jesus Christ! You can now step away from the
God. Damn.
But anyway, it's really good. I just read the Chris Moreno story that he did called Ninja Platypus. It's just a funny little cartoony story about a ninja platypus going out for beer and. And they're all, I mean, they're so completely different across the board. I mean, from one to the next, there's no theme to them.
There's nothing to it?
No, not at all. I mean,
I like that. I mean, there's the flights that are out there, and that's kind of got your indie internet strip vibe that's very heavy on, like, you know, guys who, not to say that the flight's bad at all, but it definitely.
More of an
while the stories aren't a theme, there's still an aesthetic theme that they kind of have going through there. And, of course, like 24/7, which is really sick, but still, like, very themed throughout with the robots. I liked the idea of Pop Gun. I haven't got it yet because it's giant.
It's huge. It's a monster of a book.
But I did like the idea of it in that, you know, there really was no just whatever.
Well, that's why I've been reading it the way, because it's like, it's hard for me to sit down and just, like, go through, you know, 15 of these little stories. They're not very long. I mean, all the stories are very short so far. I mean, some of them are just like a couple pages. I think there's one in there is one page kind of thing. There's no theme. But so far, they've all been good in one way or another, whether it's, you know, just the art alone. I mean, there's so many different artists in it. It's crazy. And, you know, and I like sort of that short story thing to it, you know, where it's just you can go from crazy, you know, sci-fi wackiness or like a Mike Allred to a Jim Mahfood to, you know, whoever, Chris Moreno to whatever. So that's been really good. I've really enjoyed that digging deeper into that book.
And that's cool. I had just finished reading Josh Howard's Sasquatch anthology that came out through Viper, and it was okay.
I was
disappointed in was that so many of the stories seem to fall into the same Sasquatch as a superhero thing. I was kind of like,
of course.
Yeah, I felt like so many stories were sort of, it was like, oh, I got this great idea, Sasquatch as a superhero, and then 15 people turned in that story a little bit.
It was almost like a lack of editorial at the beginning of the process.
It seemed a little, there was a couple that, there was one that really shocked me because it was drawn in such a cartoony style, but it had such a sad, sad ending, and I wish I had it in front of me. But it was good because I was the ones that stick out to you are the ones that sort of twist what you think is going to happen. You know, as soon as I see, you know, a team of Sasquatches acting like X-Men, I'm like, well, okay, I know what this story, you know, I know how this story is going to go. Yeah.
I mean, I know how this
it was up and down. It was decent, though. Some of them were really well written. The art was very nice, and, you know, some of them.
How big is that?
I want to say like 250 pages.
Oh, no kidding.
Holy crap. It's thick. It's like about that. It's like that's 18 cool. bucks.
I did actually, there was one other thing I read this week that I did like that came out this week was The 12.
Yeah,
number
I read
two,
that too.
Second issue. I've really enjoyed that so far.
Diamond delivered all those I read today.
Yeah, they all got delivered. No more in the warehouse. Yeah.
Well, that's good. That's good.
Fast too.
Hey, there's still two there.
Yeah.
Still
Fast too. I read that they delivered. They delivered the first
Wednesday.
Couple of
24 hours or something.
The first printing was delivered very quickly on the first two issues.
I've been surprised by it because it's sort of odd because that book treads a very thin line. Like it's this guy from the 40s thinks interracial marriage is crazy,
right,
you know,
right.
And it's like, okay, God, how many times have we seen the man out of time, doesn't understand TV, but he actually, I think he sort of saves it by actually giving the characters some emotional depth, and Chris Weston's art gives those characters so much emotion that you can kind of get past the, oh, it's television,
clunky,
I'm used to radio,
the...
You know, the cliches and the, people out of time.
Yeah, I'll read that in the trade.
You'll pick that up
I'll
in the
read
trade.
That in the trade.
It was good. So far, I've enjoyed it. I mean, it just, I'm a sucker for anything from
delivered.
The 40s anyway. But, taking those sort of golden age characters and redoing something with it in Marvel, I think is pretty cool.
Yeah, I think the art has really...
Given it more... Yeah.
I think
added
the
a
story,
lot to it.
The story is... It's interesting, and I think some of the character stuff, but really, honestly, like, as far as plot goes, I mean, you don't really know.
Well, so far, yeah, you don't, I mean, the first issue I really enjoyed because it twisted it so many times. Like, there was, like, three twists in that for me, just, like, going, oh, I know where this is going, and then it didn't. Oh, I know where it's going, and then it didn't.
Yeah.
I still enjoyed it, you know what I mean? So it was like, oh, okay. The second one, it just sort of is now leading off of that, you know, kind of going a little bit further. But yeah, you don't know exactly where this is going. It'll be interesting to see in 12 issues. I think Straczynski can do a good job in 12 issues, and
he doesn't have time to rape my childhood. This isn't my childhood,
no.
So I'll be okay.
It's somebody's though. It's somebody's.
Yeah,
childhood.
Some 80-year-old
is. Hey, you know, 80-year-olds don't want their childhood raped any more than you do.
Some
Tom.
50-year-old's like, some 60-year-old sitting around. I remember when I used to read the Blue Blade when I was a kid.
The Blue Blade,
and he killed him in the first issue.
I will stop sequestering myself. They don't know the right terminology. I will stop sequestering myself to your vicious attacks on my readerisms.
I'm dropping.
I read. Scotty, I didn't read any. I don't think I started a couple comics, but I haven't. I started Buffy season 8 this week.
Did you finish Punisher? Did you finish?
No, you know what? I read that first arc, and then I started the second arc, and
didn't go back to it.
I didn't go back to it. I mean, like part of me, the art
killed it for you.
Didn't suck me in as much, and then right off the bat, the guy with like the open wounded face wearing the all of a sudden, what intrigued me about the first story, all of a sudden I went, oh, God, this is just a Marvel comic. This is just a comic all of a sudden again. It felt like.
God damn it.
Where I was like,
they got me reading
why
the comic.
Is the Punisher fighting a dude with a, muscle face or whatever? It just seemed kind of corny right there at this outset.
I think you have to play the Punisher either really hard one way or really hard the other.
Yeah.
You have to either, if you're going to make, I kind of like when Fraction is done where it's like him fighting all the Spider-Man villains. If you're going to kind of go silly, then just really just
let it
go.
Yeah,
just like get
ridiculous. But to have it be all like Max line and then, like I said...
Well, I think that's the last time really he does something like that where it's...
Right.
It almost could be a super villain.
Yeah.
He doesn't really do that. There's definitely bad guys, but it's more variety sort of
I mean, because I enjoyed, I enjoyed the tone of, like, the Bendis Daredevil run where it's like there was bad guys, but even supervillains, even and with powers and stuff, but they were able to root them in the real world in such a way that they were believable and fun.
For the most part, in the rest of his run, I mean, there's a couple,
and it didn't help that it just looked silly. I mean,
The face.
I mean, the art didn't also help.
He was supposed to be a like a bomber, right? Yeah. Wasn't that what it was? He was supposed to be like
a barely
Irish,
got into it because I was just like, because he bombed the
IRA bomber guy, but he blew his phone face off kind of thing.
Whoa!
Yeah.
That's extreme.
It's kind of weak.
Yeah.
Yeah. And like I said, the art didn't help make it look any creepier. It just looked silly.
I don't know if it's the third or the fourth arc, which is Mother Russia, which is one of my favorites.
Really good.
Yeah,
I'm gonna move on with it, but I actually because I finished Jumper book. I was a little it's good, don't get me wrong, the story was really good, it stayed good, and it was a lot of very emotional moments because of, you know, he's an abusive relationship with his father, but the story did not go where, like, when you watch the trailers to the movie, like, oh, it's like this they're like these,
action,
these police, yeah. This teleporting,
big world.
Yeah, this teleporting police. There's other teleports, and there's this teleporting police brigade that kind of go after teleports so they don't
wreck the world.
Yeah,
and their teleporting.
So I'm reading the book waiting for all that, and it never really comes. Nah, it's not in the book. It's a different kind of story.
That's not really the book's fault, though.
Yeah, no, it's not. But I mean, that was the first time, honestly, that the tables were turned on me, where I thought the movie, I haven't seen the movie, but the trailer to the movie looks so good.
What do you think people who watch wanted, and then are going to be like, oh, I can't read I'm going to read the comic book, and they're going to be like, what the hell?
But it's going to go opposite, like, whoa, yeah! Oh, fucking stupid movie. But no, I finished that, and I started another book that I'm very, very intrigued by, and I can't wait to get further in. It's called Tunnels. Honestly, I can't remember the two. This is written. It's two writers that co-writers, but I can't remember their names right now because I just started this.
Heckle and Jekyll. We'll call them.
Yes. We'll call them that.
Works.
It's published by Scholastic, and the actual publisher, whatever his name is.
You should get a
stupid
notebook,
names.
Maybe.
Yeah. Well, I thought we were doing the club show tonight. This is all freestyle.
All right.
So the publisher that quote unquote discovered J.K. Rowling, but obviously J.K. Rowling submitted Harry Potter to many publishers,
got turned
not
down.
Companies, but actual people that read her manuscripts and got it turned down. And
I
this was the
college students that read manuscripts.
Right.
I still don't think it's going to be that big.
What's that? Tunnels?
Harry Potter.
Oh yeah,
I think
no.
It's very transient.
Yeah, but that guy who discovered that they're saying like this is his next big find.
Next discovery.
Yeah, it's the same guy who found these two. I think they may have self-published it first under a different title.
Interesting.
And on their own. And then when they found this, of course, they're getting all types of crazy advances.
Yes.
And wonder. So I think, luckily from me reading it, it's interesting. But when I started to hear all that hype, I was like, oh, they're trying to make it the next one. But
that's almost like a recipe for failure, you know?
I thought that, but at the, like, already.
Good.
I'm about 100 pages in. It's about a 400 page book. And it's a young adult book.
Right.
But I think that it has the potential for me to like it more than Harry Potter.
What? No, blasphemy.
What?
Yes.
Blasphemy, sir.
Harry Potter fan fiction is just going out the fucking window?
Yeah, fuck it. Fuck that podcast.
Do they have Tunnels scarves?
Is there a Tunnels podcast yet? Should we get on the ground floor on that shit?
There we go. It will be huge. That's it. We found it.
Tunnels podcast.
The tunnel.
In the hole. Fire in the hole.
Fire in the hole.
Fire in the hole. Yeah.
It's set up in that kind of classic fantasy, that children's fantasy, kind of young adult fantasy world where it's like, well, it's London, father and his son. His father's like
very Peter Panish.
Hello.
Anyway, no, not at all.
sort of.
His father is like a scholar. He works at a local little dingy museum. I mean, it's like, you know, there's some museum that you go in and see, like, oh, this is a spatula they used 40 years ago. and he hates it, but he wanted to be an archaeologist. And so he goes around on the edges of town and does little digs and takes his son. His son's like, I think, 16. And
16.
So that's kind of his hobby. He wants to be like his dad. So he's learned how to, you know, do digs and look for things.
Okay, yeah.
And
amateur archaeologist.
Yeah, basically. Kinda. And he enlists one of his buddies from school. They're not like completely the nerdy guys, but they're just kind of the ones that nobody pays attention to. You know, it's not like
the Eli Manning of tunnel digging.
So yeah, they're digging, right? And slowly you're starting to get a hint that there is an actual
under, like, way underground is another world. Like, not dragons and shit like that, but like a civilization that is living, like, because his dad,
Moleman?
His
don't
dad
call
will
Neil
find
Adams.
I don't get the reference.
Neil Adams believes that the Earth is hollow and it's been growing.
It's growing or whatever. Yeah. Move on. Onward.
Yeah, it was
onward.
Just a Tom Digg.
He's such a cynic.
I know.
So yeah, the dad often sees these characters. He calls them men in hats, whatever. The very pale characters with, you know, very thick kind of goggle like sunglasses and dark coats
men.
And similar. And ooh, that was crazy.
Whoa.
Yeah. So he sees these characters walking around town, and of course, and then the dad goes missing. So I'm kind of at the point of looking. I haven't got very far, but it's alluding to.
They're going to have to go down.
Yeah, there's like some,
cool.
And really, really deep. And I like that idea that it's, unlike Harry Potter, where yes, there's kind of an alternate world right next to us, that
right.
I like that, but it's conveniently nowhere. Like,
right.
You know, the Harry Potter world, it's like, it's right there, but nowhere. Nobody knows about it, you know, so there's
it's magic. We don't have to explain that.
Right. There's not that fear that the two converge.
Right.
And in this story already, you're finding little things where, you know, somebody's building onto their house and need to check something in the basement, and they make it through a wall, and all of a sudden they're like, what in the fuck is this steps that go down and down and down
feet.
And down? Yeah, and then the kid is digging this other tunnel, and all of a sudden he finds this set of bricks, and at first he thinks it's like, oh, an old train tunnel that nobody's discovered. Then he gets through the bricks, and then he finds almost this dome, almost like a crypt or something, with names written in each brick. Around the room, and this is completely underground, and he's like, what is this? And then all, you know, it's blocked up the next day, and his dad goes missing, so it's like this really cool
mystery.
And there's a little, obviously there's his
little
dad,
Indiana Jones with it, kind
something
of,
like that. I mean, yeah, definitely
like
feel
young
like
Indiana
that, yeah.
Jones a little bit, but then there's the mystery.
So I can see why people, I mean, just right now, and again, I don't know, they're already working on the third book. The second book isn't out yet, but it's on its way.
We need to get this fucking podcast.
We got to get this podcast
fire
up
in the hole, dude.
Fire in the hole. The tunnel
digging.
Podcast. Dig it.
Dig it. Dig it. Dig it.
Dig it podcast.
Dig cast.
That sounds really cool. I may have to check that out.
So I'm enjoying it right now. Right now, I'm rolling with the hype.
You're rolling with the new hotness.
If it gets any better... Harry Potter, old busted shit.
Damn!
Whoa.
Old and busted?
There's only one number one in Scotty's heart and everything
yeah.
else.
Yeah.
It's just how it is.
If
it's nothing
gets
against
any better,
Harry Potter,
I'll be like,
you're either the best or you're not.
That's stupid kid shit.
Yeah, this is your children.
Yeah.
I can't believe I
won't
that.
Throw away my scarf, though.
No.
Or your Quidditch rules book.
Or my glasses or my fake lightning bolt tattoo.
Jesus.
Or the kid that you have dressed up like Harry Potter in a room in your house.
In a cage.
I have him in a box. He can come out every Thursday.
Tell me how you play Quidditch.
And I have Casey just sitting there going, Harry Potter.
It's
Harry
been there Potter. Since Halloween.
Harry Potter.
What else did I read?
Oh, you know what, though? I do want to... Because you mentioned the Northlander, and I said that I had something...
Yeah.
To comment.
To kind of go along with that. And
it involves Brian Wood.
Yes, Brian Wood. I was listening to... I think Word Balloon...
Yeah,
John Suntress.
Yeah, with him in Azzarello.
Right,
it was, Brian's
the Brian
yes.
show.
It was very weird because Suntress kept calling him. He's just calling him Wood and Az.
Wood and Az.
Wood and Az.
It's very odd. Very odd. Az Wood.
Well, I guess he couldn't call him Brian because
Well, it wasn't over the phone. It was in. It was at a panel.
FX.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
But it was just odd.
Well,
to
even
hear,
so,
yeah,
you
it can... was just weird because you don't often hear like creators just being
As.
Like,
"Hey, young,
yeah.
hey,
you know, like a ball players, like you're slapping on
like,
the butt."
Like Centris was like a gym teacher.
Yeah.
Wood, answer that question. Come on, get up that rope.
Get up that rope. But on this, you know, when he was bringing up Northlanders, and I think at first, you know, obviously, like most people probably thought, what an odd choice for Brian Wood to be writing a story not only about Vikings, but a story that doesn't take place in a city, an urban environment. And he mentioned that because obviously he lives with the
hip-hoppers. Hoppers and the jazz clubs.
But he mentions there about – he kind of speaks to that and says – living in the city, and I think maybe he – I don't know where he's originally from, but obviously he's lived in the city for years and years. And he actually mentioned now though, even with writing that book, he said something to the effect of he's more and more wanting to not live in the city, like live, you know,
somewhere.
Before he'd always wanted to live in the city. Now he's wanting to go out and live, you know, in the kind of stories he's writing with in the woods,
in the country,
you know, in the country,
in the bleak Norse town.
What's that?
In a bleak Viking town.
Yes, with people named Cord. Nah, nah, nah.
What's your name?
Drink mead.
Brian.
Yes,
Brian.
I'm Brian. I write DMZ.
I write comic books.
Do you like graffiti?
It may just kill him right on sight. Yeah. I don't think... it's like 300.
Have
they put him in a
local?
Ring.
Yeah.
Have you read Local? Channel Zero. It's advertisement. It's propaganda.
So I don't know why I'm talking like that. Like why all of a sudden did Brian Wood become like from Boys Town?
I don't know. I think it's to differentiate, make sure that's how we should do all people's voices.
Yeah, if they're not Vikings, everybody's
anything
voice
that's
now is
not a Viking.
Yeah, is not Viking like is homosexual.
There you go.
A flaming.
That's a theme. That's a theme in Northlanders.
But anyway, it went along with what I was saying because this week. Or the, you know, I was listening to that, but at the same time, Casey and I were bringing up, which we've talked about for years, is moving away from the city as well. And I know, but we've never like most people is like we bring it up, but we never really do it.
Right, just an idea, a thought.
And, yeah, and this time we brought it up, and part of him saying that, like even hearing that, not, I don't want to say like, oh, I'm doing it because he said that, but it just happened to be a nice coincidence.
Brian Wood told you to.
Yeah, he told me. Hey, would you move out of the city?
I don't like it in the city.
I don't
anymore.
Like it in the
would
city.
You, would you go?
But we have been talking about possibly leaving Chicago soon. So long, bitches. No, and going to the Nashville area.
The Nashville.
Yeah.
Back to the country. Yeah. Back to the South. The good old South.
It's just time, man. It's
you
time.
Just,
it's,
you know,
it's
just,
rising.
You can't you can't display those rebel flags here in the city.
Yeah, it's not the same.
You know, it's not,
you
not don't
the,
get
same.
The same.
You know what? I'm going to stop now because I will do something. I will say something that's going to be very inappropriate. I know I will. I won't mean it.
I think it's important to any day now the South will rise. And I think it's important to get there and start a podcast. About it.
Yes. Risecast.
Risecast.
So,
Risecast.
So Nashville, do you have any idea of when you might be going?
Yeah, about probably, you know, beginning of May. Like 3 months.
Already.
That's when our lease is up. I mean, that's the thing. Our lease is up here and it's just time for a change. I mean, we just, Casey's a musician, for those who don't know. So Nashville is a very good spot for, you know, musicians, female musicians
sure.
especially. I mean,
I think I told you the first time I ever heard her is like, man,
she should go to Nashville. Yeah.
She should go to Nashville.
I think you even said like she should go to Nashville. And really, I mean, it came down to we've talked a lot about where we should go for years, and I just said, you know, you tell me where you would like to go because I can. I mean, I can do my job from anywhere.
Right.
That's kind of the beauty of it. So she thought about it and brought up Nashville and. I've lived in Tennessee before. This is not near where I lived in Tennessee, and it's actually only about 7 hours from here. But yeah, it seems like nice. We're going to go there in about a week just to check it out and
see
the area and
case the joint.
Yeah, case the joint, and so I don't know. That's we're gonna try it. If we don't like it, you know what? Fuck it. We'll come back. Or
there's always Vegas.
Yeah, I might move to Vegas.
Vegas or
you could build
Arizona.
A satellite.
If I moved to Vegas, though, I would probably murder somebody to see if CSI would. Find, yeah. Figure it out.
They would.
They don't know what the fuck they're
they
doing.
Would.
I bet you Grissom would find me out.
They would. They always find.
They always find out.
They always find him.
Yeah.
Hair, you know, particle
you should
or
build
some shit.
A satellite.
DNA. It's always DNA
that circles the Earth, geosynchronous over where. Pick your favorite town, wherever, or maybe your favorite landmark, and just sit up there in this just big enough for you and a table to draw, and then a tube for food to come down into your mouth.
You're a crazy
what
one,
are you
man.
Talking
yeah.
about?
I'm just saying he has enough money to pull this off.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I've already got the satellite. I just didn't understand the food thing.
What you should do is you should be inside a blimp that floats around the Earth.
And I just pick a state every month.
Yeah.
And
throw an anchor down.
You know what, though? The biggest selling point, once I was like, she'll probably have a little bit better of a chance of doing something with music there. And is it's like 30% cheaper. The cost of living is 30% lower than
right.
which is, that make a rich man.
That's like
filthy rich.
$3 million a year for your.
Well,
time,
that's
right?
Like I had.
You better go upwards a little bit more.
I have a guy that now just like waits outside my door, and I have to give him $5 just to leave my apartment. Like that's how it is.
He's
in
a
Chicago.
Bully.
Yeah,
that's
he's
a bully.
Like, yeah, he's like. Sticks out. Yeah, I don't fight him anymore. I'm just like...
It's a cost of living.
Yeah, it's just part of the cost of living in the city. Yeah.
So...
30% lower, though. Fucking A.
Oh, that's a lot of money.
That's huge.
I mean, on a monthly basis.
And the nice thing about your job, too, is that you're going to get paid the same no matter where you
exactly.
are.
Exactly. The income doesn't change
that
at all.
That sucks. Like, my job, if I transfer cities... Yeah. If I went to New York... It I would adjusts, get paid more. It would right. adjust to the cost of
to
living.
The cost
there.
Of living,
yeah.
I'm but sure. You're not, yeah.
I don't know. If I moved to Tennessee, I'd be getting like $15 an hour.
So, yeah.
Someone would beat the shit out of me and I wouldn't get paid.
Yeah.
I'd just be forced to do accountant. Tax returns. Yeah.
What the hell?
What the hell? You do that arithmetic?
There we go.
What do you do? What you account? What do you account?
Well, you do
See,
rith-
that's,
you do
that's just wrong.
You do arithmetic?
This is funny.
2 weeks ago, we're dissing Canada.
Canada. Well, yeah, we got some Canadians riled, I think.
Food's terrible. No, the people who responded were like, yeah, I did have one good Italian place there, I think, 1 year. But that's not very good odds.
So does this mean you'll start going to BristolCon as your home show?
BristolCon?
Isn't there a Bristol? Oh, that's Bristol, UK.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. No, well, I lived in Bristol. There's no con in Bristol.
The default, if you live in Tennessee, is that people just go to the one in England.
England.
Yeah. Oh, looky here.
Oh, my God, buddy.
I took a boat over.
Man, I don't even want none of ES comic book stuff. I got to go over here across pond.
I don't hear they got a queen.
Yeah. Well, you know what? And Nashville's, like, I figured if I'm going to move south to a southern state, I'll pick a city that's about as north of the southern
north
states
south.
That you can get. Yeah.
Nashville, yeah.
It is nice, though.
It's kind of north-south.
From all the research I've been doing, I mean, it seems like the surrounding towns are, you know...
Quaint?
Yeah, nice. I mean, they have, like, a lot of history to them. It's really pretty land, and it's... and there's also a lot of new development. You know, you kind of can get in there at a, I'm not going to say ground level, because obviously these people, you know, it's not like they just discovered town.
Scotty shows up with his fancy suit and captain's hat to move in.
I pull up my top hat and monocle. Like, do you guys understand what a wall is? I'll show you how to erect one out of drywall.
Getting it on the ground floor on this new state called 10OC.
10OC. No, but like I read about it, like
going with wagons.
You know what I'm most excited about?
Yes.
The one thing, seriously, no, two things.
Yes.
Central air.
Mm-hmm.
Very excited about getting central air.
And it's a myth in Chicago.
Yeah, for people that don't. Understand, most buildings in Chicago that we live in, apartment buildings, are 150 fucking years old.
Yes. Yeah.
They're very old. No central air. Unless you buy a condo for $400,000.
Well, something new.
Yes.
And you'll probably be losing that condo within a year.
Yes.
The current way of buying houses goes in Chicago.
Yeah. No central air. So for the last 8 years, I have not known the beauty
of central air.
Of non-window unit air conditioners.
I think you might get soft.
And anybody that has a window
unit. I grew up with wind, you know. Like,
window units are suck. Of the devil.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like listening to a car engine in your. Yeah. Just terrible.
That was like the one thing when I bought a house, I'm like, it has to have central air.
You know what my number two is?
What?
Walmart, baby.
Walmart.
Being back next to the Walmart.
Can I tell you something about my window unit?
Yes, you can.
Unit? I finally took mine out in like October. Because I'm like. I always just leave it in because I'm always worried about that one weekend in October where it gets like 90 degrees.
I still got two in.
Here's what I have my
You're
window
wrong.
Unit.
Just leave
and
it in.
It finally got cold. I'm going to take this window unit out. And for some reason, my girlfriend's currently in St. Louis. So I'm in my apartment by myself. I'm like, I really need to take that window unit out. But I don't have any friends that live nearby to call to help
Norton
me.
Norton live by you?
Yeah. Like, even if no, yeah. Mike, can you come over and help me take my... So I think to myself, well, oh, this is no problem. I'm pretty nimble. I can take this out by myself. So I have a hold of it. I lift the window. It falls out the window.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
But I grab onto the cord. I get yanked halfway
Jesus
out the window. I'm only on the first floor, so I scraped the shit out of my arms. I was a little drunk, too, I'll be honest. I haven't been brave. I wasn't so drunk that it was my miscoordination. I was drunk enough that I thought
you could do it.
Yeah, yeah. I wasn't... I could have been sober, and there's no fucking way I would have been able to stop that. I also would have thought, I can't move this out of the window, you know. So I grabbed it, I yank it out. I'm just looking out the window. I'm looking out the window to see if anyone saw. To see if the people at Starbucks, because there's a Starbucks, see if anyone saw what I just did. No one. There's like one You're person clean. In the window just like looking at me.
What's happening?
Pulled it in.
Is he stealing that?
Yeah. I'm so glad. I'm so ready to be
what,
done.
What do you think the food will be like?
In the South?
Well, oh. I mean...
You know what I'm most excited... That is another thing. Like, I cannot wait to go back to a Southern breakfast joint.
Yeah, but no pizza. You're not getting good pizza.
That's okay. I'll take Papa John's.
How's the Mexican food?
If you could give me good biscuits and gravy, I don't ever need... Yeah, I'll trade pizza in a heartbeat. Right. I'll take Papa John's for some good Southern... That's the thing. When you go to breakfast places in the South, like here we got a lot of corner greasy spoons little diners, right? And it's just...
They have their charms.
Their charms. It's plates of grease, but... You don't order shit like biscuits or gravies at these spots because they don't understand.
Well, you can.
Yeah, but they'll give you like a store bought roll and put like turkey gravy on it. Like,
no, there's a few places
they don't understand it.
No, not really.
I'm not talking about Bob Evans.
Bob Evans.
So I am like
McKeever's screaming.
Because I did go to high school. I lived for about 6 years. Lived in Bristol, Tennessee. Yeah. So
where the Bristol Con is.
Yeah. And NASCAR.
Europe's got comic book conventions?
And I thought that Europe, what?
Alamo,
so I'm excited about the food.
So you're going to be doing the podcast, we're going to be calling you?
Yeah,
Skyping you?
Yeah.
You
Skype
know
it
what?
Up.
We shouldn't even bother doing it. We should just let Scotty talk.
Yeah, we got a letter from somebody that according to them, I don't think that you guys would be able to function.
Yeah.
If I
wasn't here to tell you exactly what you can't, how to think, what opinions to have, and actually what to do with your free time during the week that you're not at the show.
I know, I wouldn't fucking swear so much.
I know.
Well, it's funny because we did like 100 shows.
Yeah,
before Scotty.
But
they saw. They were all obviously terrible because
you guys had no free will. What in the world did you choose
to
do with your time?
We were adrift.
I mean, I don't read that many comic books, so of course you guys will choose not to read.
Oh, I stopped reading comics.
Yeah,
I found out they weren't cool.
I knew that about you guys the first time I came here. I went, man, a bunch of bitches have no free will. I can just go in there and roll over.
Wreck
them.
Shit.
I didn't vote. I can't vote because I get into that booth and there's no one there to tell me what to do. I let my girlfriend tell me how to vote, actually.
We're speaking of email. I do have a shitload of emails.
Let's read some fucking emails.
All right, let's see what we got.
Send in
here.
Some.
I
want people need to send in emails to tell me where a good place in around Nashville.
Around Nashville to live.
Yeah, I talked to Eric Powell the other night. He gave me some good tips
because he's around.
Yeah, he
Nashville,
lives in
right?
a town outside of Nashville.
What did he say? What did?
I don't want to.
Then everyone.
Well, I don't mean
there.
Like.
Oh, he said like Mount Juliet.
I didn't even mean
Hermitage.
That. I just meant, how's he doing?
Oh, you were like, what's he working on?
What's he painting?
Like, what page was he working on on the phone while you talked?
Could you get me a goon sketch from him?
Yeah. Can you get this T-shirt signed?
Do you think we could go down and visit him?
It's a bit of a stretch.
It was funny though because I asked him where and he said I don't know.
I don't know.
Because I think he thought like I wanted him to explain to me like what would be good streets. And I just meant like give me general like if this suburb, you know, I don't want to move to this suburb if it's fucking Beirut, right? Like I just want you to give me and then he was like, "Oh," cuz at first he was like, "Yeah, I don't cuz he I think he lives in the town that he was raised in. I mean, he's been there forever." So he's like, you know, like most of us, we don't leave our little here in Chicago, I barely leave my little block, you know, like my few square blocks. I mean, it's a stretch for me to come over here.
Because this is well, I gotta go get you.
I know.
I pick your ass
Scotty
up.
Scotty cries as soon as he leaves his
team. Because it's like Lost. I didn't think the island extended this far.
All right, we got an email here from Caleb Edwards. He had a Captain America question. He said, with all the buzz about Captain America number 34, I've been wondering whether Captain America should appeal to me. As a Canadian who has lived in New York City, Canada, the Congo.
I think iFanboy answered this, too.
And now
let's give a different answer.
In London, who doesn't consider himself anti-American, I've never ever been able to interest myself in the character, or for that matter, Captain Britain. Is there anything in the character beyond the story by Brubaker which really does intrigue me that you think should appeal to non-Americans?
Yeah.
Thanks, what? Caleb, London, UK.
You know what interests
Captain
me?
Captain America's, I mean, it's
more of an ideal than, it's not like he's...
Well, he's never running around going, I'm protecting America's free, you know, I mean, he's...
He is, but it's more, it's not, it's like an ideal of, like, what, to me, it's like what I wish America was like is how Cap...
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like his ideal of America is somewhere where we're all safe.
But he also,
we're all,
the
know,
key is that he isn't like always like a tool of the government.
Right.
Like
he disagrees with, like, with the government.
And he has his own ideal of what he... See, this always sort of... this. It's an interesting thing because I think it's a holdover from like when you're a kid and you're like, oh, Captain America... I don't want to read a book that's about America, or Captain Britain. I don't like the United Kingdom, or Superman. There couldn't possibly be a Superman story that's any good. Because you get these things in your head where you're hung up without knowing anything about the stories that you think. There's no way that this story could have... There's no way
I couldn't
this
connect
character...
To it.
But a good writer can take any character and find...
Right. Oh, yeah.
You know, any artist, any writer can take a character and find an interesting thing to do with them. Because I don't think there's any characters that are so irredeemable that it's incapable.
I mean, you're really right there. I mean, it really comes down to good and poor writing. I mean, good writer can get in there and really... I mean, a bad writer can make you... I mean, that's the problem.
Yeah,
like, a bad writer will make you stay away from a character probably longer than a good writer could bring you back in.
Well, and I will say, though, I don't know... I mean, I think Brubaker's done a really good job with Cap.
Yeah.
But I don't know, like, even myself, as much of a fan of that character I am, I don't know that I would go back and read a whole lot of
the old,
older
nah,
Captain
I've never
America
been
stuff. You know what I mean? It's like...
Well, I'm just not a military person when it comes to... I mean, I didn't like G.I. Joe a lot when I was young. Like, I was a He-Man person before G.I. Joe because there's something about army.
The whole army.
Well, I always what I like with what Brubaker did with it is he made sure that to include the fact that Cap really comes from a different time. I think sometimes writers forgot that Captain America...
Well, he'd been around so long.
Yeah, he doesn't fit. He's supposed to be this guy who's had this whole other life. He showed up and introducing Bucky back into the story and saying, like, this guy fought in a war. You know, this is how his viewpoint of the modern world is going to be. I thought... I never liked Captain America before, and I thought it was... I love it.
I think the Brubaker is excellent, and anybody could read it. But once again, the character Cap is not... I mean, he's just his ideals. What he fights for is just sort of freedom in general, not necessarily anything particularly American, you know, in the sense of government or.
But
because that's
like
I think that's what
I think that's is it a case where somebody would confuse like I was saying, in every issue, it's not like he opens the issue with going like stating I'm going to go out and fight for an American idea.
No, God no.
It's just he's going on missions, or you know. I think there's the underlining thing with Cap, like the underlying theme of, like you said, it's the ideal of what America, like he wants America to be, but then it goes in with what Tom was saying with, like, he's a man out of time, and then it's just following that character's story. Like,
It can go anywhere. I mean,
I think there was a time where people were used to, like, every issue of Captain America.
Well, at one time,
like,
well,
you
he
know,
used to go around punching Hitler in the face.
I am defender of America.
Yeah, he was extremely, he was a propaganda tool at one time when he first, I mean, but it's far removed from that. I mean, I think, and it's like, you know, it's sort of in a funny way, like, not everyone that's American, like, completely 110% agrees with everything that our government does. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
it's like,
Captain
I don't sit here and go...
Brubaker's Captain America is like the personification of a little bit of that, of like, you can have your idea of what America is and, you know...
And still be an American. You don't have to agree with everything that happens in the country or happens from the country on an outside
like
to be American.
It's not like the Bush way. They like, if you don't agree with the war, then you are against the troops.
Yeah, then you're unpaid. You know, like, yeah, exactly. Then you're
why do you want our troops to die? I don't understand
you.
I
wouldn't be afraid. It's no. It's good. It's a well-written book.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Go get it.
Yeah, check try it out.
K-Dog.
This one is from Jimmy Chang. I said, hey, me again. Thanks for reading my email. You're welcome. I don't remember what it was. Yeah. But did anybody see the season premiere of Torchwood Season 2? James Marster guest starred in it. It was cool to see James with his Spike accent. I think that's his British accent, isn't it?
Well, didn't the crank
well he doesn't have it. He doesn't have a British accent in real life.
Right, but
yeah,
I feel like
but
we're just
a Spike accent. You know?
I feel like we're getting questions on other podcasts.
Yeah, this is a weird.
Do we just get copied?
Yeah. We didn't have a show last week because they freaked out. We gotta get answered. Yeah.
Do we get BCC'd on everyone's email stuff?
I keep hearing. Did anyone see Torchwood? I don't watch Torchwood.
I've watched the first season.
Okay,
it's okay.
You didn't see the premiere of the second season.
No,
didn't they?
I keep hearing Sarah Connor Chronicles is good. I'm glad Summer Glau co-starring in The City. What? It is good, actually. If you get past the first episode, which was awful, the pilot episode was terrible. If you get past that, it actually has become a much better show.
Isn't that a funny thing with TV? How like the pilot is inevitably like the shittiest,
the worst of it.
Sometimes
yeah.
you get that, like, yet they have all this time to like. Present something, and sometimes for some reason in TV, sometimes the pilot you look at a pilot of something and then you look at the rest of it and you're like, how did that happen? It seems to happen more with TV. I mean, like comic books, usually the first issue is the best issue.
Well, yeah,
because right. it's like yeah. new the and freshest. Fresh, and they
well,
can start with anyway.
Yeah, they had the most time, yeah. everything else is rushed behind it. I mean, usually what I think what it normally the pilot comes down to just lack of budget. It's not, I mean, it's,
well, and I think you have a lot of people. Well,
I mean, they're
working together for the first time,
because,
that kind of thing.
Yeah, know. Well, you have that. The networks only give, you know, the networks don't give you a full budget because there's a
they
possibility that they're not going to
yeah.
pick up your show.
Sure,
so why
sure.
waste the money?
It's always such a weird thing, though, because you're always watching a pilot.
You
sometimes
think,
you'd be like, I'm not going to watch the rest of that. I'm going to watch this.
You would think they would put their best foot forward for that first initial episode yeah. so that it has its best chance to
or
survive.
Or even if they know they're going to show it on network TV,
right.
they still show that pilot. Yeah. Sometimes in like a really weird state,
and it's yeah, and I think there's that issue of like the creators trying to cram, like they don't know how to balance the information that they're going to give in the pilot because they have to give enough information in the pilot to get picked up.
Yeah,
that you know they can't just do. It's like if you don't have a lot of you know if you're not going in there with like a lot of clout and you can just kind of write your own ticket. It's like what do you do with a pilot that's gonna? You can't just go and slow roll it, right?
Yeah.
Like. Unless it's like a Lost, right? You know, all you got to do in that pilot is crash a plane on an island. Bam, you're gonna, you know.
Right, there's your
yeah. But
although that was a pretty good plane crash.
Yeah, but there's like I think like one of the better pilots, like one of the shows that when I watched the first episode, I thought, "Fucking A," was like Prison Break.
I never watched it.
Oh, I love.
I think
Prison Break.
But I think Prison Break's a good, really good example of they had a really strong initial concept.
Yeah,
and they. Sort of like a comic book. Like right away, they had like a really good 12 issues, and then all of a sudden it's like, doesn't stretch.
Well, yeah, well, yeah, because then once like the second season, once they're well, the first season I think held up great. Like
yeah.
it was
yeah.
20,
I did enjoy the first season.
22 episodes of like some serious tense
good stuff.
Oh my god! Oh,
I've never watched it.
And then the second season, of course, they're out, and then you're like, well, this isn't really a Prison Break because it's 22 episodes of them. Trying to stay escaped
yeah.
out of prison.
It lost tension because you're just kind of like, ah.
Well, there were times where it amped up because you're like, oh, fuck. And then when that season ends, you're like, oh, really? They put him in a...
Yeah,
like
I stopped
a,
watching
like a Mexican
it. Mexican yeah.
prison. Now they got a...
They're back in prison again. They got to break out.
Yeah,
this show's over. You might want to just end that.
Wow. No, I'll keep going. Hey, I held on to Smallville for 6 seasons. Motherfucker.
He finishes off going, I have to mention The Wire again, but mainly about Dominic West. Can't wait to see him play Jigsaw in Punisher Warzone. I didn't know...
He's playing Jigsaw in Punisher Warzone?
Dominic West is McNulty, right?
Yeah.
I didn't know
I could see that.
That
working really yeah. well.
He's awesome.
He is
Speaking
good.
Of The Punisher, you know, I was going to mention this earlier. I didn't know... They're releasing yeah. the Zek Punisher miniseries in hardcover. It's in this month's. If I had mentioned the only reason I mentioned it is because I had like 3 weeks ago. I said, God damn it, I wish they would re-release that. And somebody listened.
Have you seen screenshots?
Of Punisher Warzone?
Yeah.
No.
Of the movie?
I also wanted to mention the Crankcast. We're talking about English actors who can speak with an American accent.
Oh, yes.
And everybody on HBO. Johnny Lee Miller. But Dominic West, if you just watched The Wire, you would have no idea.
Yeah.
So I just wanted to throw
Well, you know what? I mean, but...
No idea what?
That he's...
English or Irish?
She's Irish.
He seems to have a bit of an accent.
But he falls out of it.
I can't lie.
I don't think I've caught him in that. No, I've caught him falling out of it as well.
I always just took it as Irish. He's Irish.
You know who's the best?
Baltimore Irish.
Stringer.
Oh, yeah, Stringer.
The Stringer belt is hardcore British.
Yeah.
No fucking way.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. He's really hard. He's hardcore. Oh, yeah.
That blows my mind.
And you would have no idea about Stringer Bell.
Oh, I wanted to bring up
HBO has a huge line of guys.
There's a lot of British British actors in that in the Wire.
What's her name on 6 Feet Under? Brenda, and she's on Brothers and Sisters. She's Australian.
There's a ton of them. They were everywhere. They've infiltrated Hollywood.
Yeah, but yeah, the Stringer Bell blew my mind.
Yeah, when I first saw it,
absolutely fucking.
What the fuck? I will kill you. And then he's all like, "Oh, it's just a great show." Well, oh my god!
I've never watched like any extras or stuff on it because I've always like.
Well, see, I used to watch. I watched The Wire on HBO, so they'd
have the
in between like the commercials.
The
and
dude
stuff.
That freaked me out was Chris. The Marlowe's killer dude.
He's an awesome actor.
But you see that guy in like an interview, and he's just like, you know,
he's all clean cut.
Yeah, he's just polite and very well spoken. Yeah, it's just like
he's always
you
dirty
are
and
really
and
fucking
sweaty.
Good. You know,
I can't wrap my mind around the fact that Stringer Bell has a English that.
Oh yeah,
absolutely Stringer blows Bell. My mind.
I'm trying to think of who else because, like I said,
not,
HBO.
Not Snoop. she's about as real as you get.
Yeah, she's
hello.
Yeah, all of a sudden she comes out.
Hello.
Can I sweep your chimney?
I wanted to mention something I happened to kind of has to do with The Wire. I told you about this earlier, but I was watching IFC.
Yeah.
I had something on, and I was working on my computer, so I wasn't really paying attention to it. And the show came on, and it was like – I thought it was like a music video. It was strange because it was just like somebody singing sort of like this pop R&B poppy kind of song, you know. And I kept looking over every once in a while, and then I started listening to the lyrics – and it was like these funny – it was like it was telling a story. And it was funny. It was about this guy who got caught in this other woman's bedroom. Her husband comes home. He goes in the closet. And it ends up – it's this R. Kelly thing that he did.
Wait a second. Are you now just talking about Trapped in the Closet?
Yes,
that
I've never
came
seen
out
it.
Like
well, I had, okay.
You didn't see the South Park where I had South Park was like, why's Tom Cruise in the closet?
I had never
you
heard of
so
it.
Behind
I know.
The curve
okay,
this.
But anyway, the funniest thing about it, yeah, I'm not talking about
time.
I'm not talking about that as much as yeah, I'm the man.
South
of
America.
America,
you're the
I'm
Captain
sorry.
Of
hey, I'm older than you guys. Give me a break. The only thing that I wanted to mention on it was I'm watching it, and then one of the characters in it is a cop played by Omar, whose wife sleeps with a midget, and he beats the crap out of a midget.
Next, you're going to tell me Omar is a mute, and it's all done digitally.
I do want to. The reason that we started talking about this earlier was because I was trying to figure out. I couldn't remember because Echo on Lost, Mr. Echo.
Yeah.
Who the character on Lost used to be on Oz on HBO. He was Otto BC on Oz.
Right.
And I can't remember or not because he had the really thick African accent there and he has it on Lost. But I want to say, I could be wrong. But
No, I think he's from like.
Really?
Yeah. Because I remember looking something up on him. And I
almost
think
thought
he
was
like,
British as well. I swear to God for a minute.
Maybe he is, but no, I thought he was.
We should
was
look
like,
up a video real quick because I'd die to know.
Let's pause and we'll look it up.
Take a break.
Do we have
more? We'll be right back.
Yeah, we have more.
Yeah, we're gonna read more email.
Hold up, we'll come right back.
We'll be right back.
It is true what they say about you.
And what is that?
You have no soul.
You see on the screen now is something that's quite different from what was originally talked about and conceived. As I understood it, as what we discussed with the creators, he was actually quite a passive character.
Go. And tell your friends I let you live. That Mr. Echo let you live.
The name that we initially came up with was Emeka. And I changed the name to Echo because it was Yoruba, which is the tribe that I come from, and added the Mister. I've had some difficulty trying to establish the character with the writers, you know, because we were trying to marry what they wanted to do with the show and feelings that I wanted to see come out in the character.
I knew it. I knew it. Echo is British.
The actor's name is Adewale Akinyue Agbaje, I think is how you say it. He is born and raised in London.
Yes.
And but his parents are Nigerian immigrants. So, yes.
But will blow your mind.
But yeah,
what you're used to is Oz and lost African accents, and then you hear him be like, "I was talking to you, crackles.
I had tea and crumpet."
That's insane.
Sounds like fucking.
Ask the lorry driver to pull around back.
That's so weird. All right, so that was that email. Let's see what we got next here. This is from Michael. He said, "Hey, what's up? Love the show. I've been listening for about 4 months, and you are some twisted motherfuckers, in a good way. I'm a professional airbrusher here in Philly. Bodymore Murderland's got nothing on us. Anyway, I can dig..."
That's Baltimore, Maryland.
From the wire, it's
spray painted on the wall in
Bodymore.
The intro.
Bodymore,
only to the first couple seasons, I think, though. I don't think it shows it in the later seasons.
Anyway, I can dig when Scotty goes off on an art rant, although I paint mostly Harleys and cars and shit. I listen while I'm painting. It makes the time spent painting flames boring. Go faster. Anyway, Scotty, I just wanted to second that thing about the writer Nelson DeMille. This ain't Oprah's book club, but fuck it. He's the best as far as fast food fiction goes. Quick, smart, funny, and suspenseful. I read a lot. I like Beth Cooper and High Fidelity, so check it out. Any of them. He's got like 10 books, and they all rock hard.
So flames are lame?
Did somebody tell me about somebody?
You must have mentioned somebody recommended Nelson DeMille to you.
I think I recognize that name. I think you mentioned it.
Well, let's real quick.
Yeah, let's look and see what he's all about, because for some reason I don't...
I'd like to mention the fact, I think it's interesting that he thinks flames are boring. Because I would think the painting flames all the time would be like
the new hotness.
Yeah. I thought that would be awesome. You would think. I'm changing my mind on how I'm getting flames painted on everything in my house.
Yes.
And I'm thinking I should have written a check for
Come on, though.
Cows, yeah. It's going to be like a Holstein cow. It's all going to be white. It's going to be I'm going to have a Wisconsin Badger room that's red and white, a Green Bay Packer room that's green and gold, and then the rest is painted like cows.
Yeah, I don't know why all our girlfriends and wives and stuff make fun of us for collecting comics. Because it's not like they don't always pick some random, terrible, stinky animal, and that becomes the theme of half of a house. Like... Oh, look at my kitchen. It's pig themed. You knew it too.
Cows. That was, one of them. Roosters. I can't seem to get online all of a sudden for some reason.
Well, let's continue on.
Yeah, all right. Press on,
we'll
dear
sirs.
We'll
go to the next one.
Well, thank you for the recommendation.
Yeah, we'll look into
it. I'll forward me that email when you get a chance.
I will do that. This one is from Trevor.
Let's not read Trevor.
Is that the?
Yeah, this is the. Do you want to read it?
No. I don't want to fuck around with it.
We'll just say Trevor.
Fuck him.
Trevor is not a fan of what we do anymore.
Yeah.
What do you think, Scotty?
Yeah. I fuck him.
From Damien.
I say yes.
It said, "I just wanted to say again, the show has continued excellence. I just listened to the Remender cast, and you guys are natural interviewers, creating a really comfortable environment for your subjects."
Well, I think
Great
Chris
job.
Is, to be fair.
Yeah.
"I just got my subscription pull from Midtown Comics, 19 in total from 2 weeks, and I just read the Uncanny X-Men Divided We Stand Part 1. Ed Brubaker rocks. I never liked Cyclops. The way I do with him writing him, he really brings the leadership and tactician aspect of his character to the forefront. Cyclops is cool now, and the way he writes the relationship with Emma Frost is awesome. She knows and accepts the feelings he has and always will have for Jean, but knows and is confident in what she brings to the table that separates her from Jean. She can turn to diamond skin and look into his eyes. His beams won't harm her. It is always good to start off your stack with an unexpected gem. I can't wait to read Captain America number 34. Peace from the Boogie Down Bronx."
Well, it's because Brubaker's a good writer. So there's an example of taking a character that...
And I will agree. I think I wasn't thrilled with Brubaker's first initial run on Uncanny X-Men, this whole space opera thing. I didn't really floor me. But the Messiah Complex story I thought was really good. And I agree with the whole thing with Cyclops that for once that character actually had some...
Morrison tried a little bit, but I think it got dropped almost. Yeah, I think it got dropped as soon as Morrison
you have to say that the whole relationship with him and Emma kind of started. It wasn't that Morrison who, he started that. So,
I will say, just wait till you read my Divided We Stand.
That's right. You're going to have a Divided We Stand.
Yeah, I finished the script. The script's done and just got approved, and it was received very well, which I was a little surprised.
Can we say what character?
Oh, yeah, it's Anoli.
Going to be Anoli.
Yeah, it's Anoli from the new X-Men.
Sweet.
They gave me a big list of characters, like Gambit and Sunfire and... Nightcrawler, and I mean a big list of X characters to said pick who you want to write and draw a story on, and Anoli was on the list. So a couple new X Men were on the list, but majority of it was big, you know, your mainstream X characters. And I don't know, I felt I drew him
kinship
for a while. Yeah,
him,
I felt close. I felt like he was my character to a degree. I mean, me and you know, I think Chris really did a good job of taking those background characters in our arc and bring them to the foreground, and I think we did worked well together in making them feel not so background, you know, and giving them some depth. So
I actually went back and read some of Messiah Complex. I'm actually going to pick up Young X-Men because I sort of like the younger characters.
That's
like
still going to be Guggenheim's right there, right?
Yeah.
I think. I
hope he does better than Wolverine.
I feel weird that... it feels strange to me a little bit to see some of the characters in the Young X-Men. Like, I know Wolf Cub is a part of it, and it's very odd to see him on it because he's, I think, 14 years old, and he's just so big. Like, he's a giant wolf. You know, he's like a really big wolf. But yet the theme of it is to be young, and it's... Like that, it's very conflicting to me because even in the story that I've written, youth is a theme.
These are really the first characters that you've grown an attachment with from Marvel.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think part of it has to do with, like I said, that these characters kind of getting their first shot in the spotlight during my run. Chris Yost and I got a good chance to sit and talk with each other and really say, you know, feel a sense of almost creation in a way. And obviously, I won't take credit for creating these characters because they were around before I was. But I mean, you had a guy like Anoli who really only you'd see in maybe one to two panels,
right,
a couple times a year. You know, where
you were able to put your stamp on them, you fleshed those characters out.
Felt like I do feel a connection. So yeah, to see them move on, and part of it I think to do my mission a little bit was to try to make them feel young, for once to actually feel like there might actually be kids at the school. And then when you walk away and see if that you hope, like my hope is that lasts, even whether they look young.
What excites me a little bit about I always loved the New Mutants when I was a kid, and I kind of see what I've seen of Young X-Men of like, oh, they're going to get back to the idea of
these kids starting out,
and then relating to Cyclops, who's obviously has suddenly been interjected with interesting character, you know, relating with a bunch of, you know, kids. But I think where the weakness in the X-Men line went is when they forgot about
the school,
teaching. That's really where they all of a sudden.
It was just giant. It was just
space
giant. It was giant incidents after giant incidents.
Sort of lost the way of introducing new characters.
How do we get Sentinels in the story? Right.
And like I said, while my story is only like 8 pages, it really deals with almost what you're saying with the idea of what happens when the older X-Men stop focusing on what that mansion started out as. What happened, you know. and what happens to the kids.
Right.
But what?
Well, you've explained. Yeah. I mean, I haven't read it, but you explained the story to me, and
I think it's not an action story. I mean, it's,
right.
Yeah.
It's. I think it's great that you're going to take that character and sort of continue on with trying to really flesh him out and propel that character forward even further, even though it's only a page.
Do you have any more email?
Yeah.
We do have more email. This one, let's see, Brett Hawk. He said, I'm a big fan of the show, and I felt the need after listening to episode 173 to write in and school you fuckers on Canadian cuisine. Boston Pizza is just the name. We know there isn't a Boston style of pizza. Hell, they're not even really a pizza place. They serve burgers and pasta and shit as well.
Well, that's just fucked up.
Yeah.
They're just
sorry,
you're not
so
helping yourself.
Up, yeah.
You're not helping yourself, Hawk.
They're just a cheap, shitty chain of restaurants. Poutine is fries, gravy, and cheese curds. And even though you can find it in A&W and KFC, they serve shitty poutine. Good poutine is a bit harder to find. Clamato and beer isn't a Caesar, it's a red eye.
That's true, I figured that out.
A Caesar is Clamato, vodka, Worcestershire.
I've been having them lately.
And Tabasco sauce.
They're great in the morning. Jesus. If I've been hungover.
God damn, Tom. Yeah.
What?
Tom has many problems.
As for the reason Scotty...
My problems are multifold.
As for the reason Scotty wasn't able to find a good restaurant in Toronto, it probably has something to do with Toronto being a cesspool by Canadian standards. You should really consider visiting some of the nicer parts of Canada. I look forward to seeing Scotty and whoever else makes it to...
Wait a second. Is he... But he's going to recommend going to Montreal.
I have
been French Canadian. I bet he's a French Canadian.
I have been to Vancouver, and there was better food there. He probably is French Canadian.
Yeah.
He said, "I look forward to seeing Scotty and whoever else makes it at Emerald City Comic Con. Take care, guys, and thanks for the show, Brett Hawk." He doesn't mention whether he's
French Canadian.
French Canadian. Email us back, Brett, and let us know if you're French,
are you French Canadian.
Canadian. I would venture that if he's going to Emerald City,
probably Vancouver.
Yeah, probably over on that side of the country.
Vancouver's nice.
Vancouver's really nice. It's very new, and so it looks like every building looks like Jenga.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy.
It's like every building's the exact same size and they all have the porches coming off, so it just looks like it looks like Jenga.
I really like the Pacific Northwest though. Very beautiful area. Mm-hmm.
Well, hopefully I'll be making it out to Emerald City. Speaking of Emerald City, here's another one from Brian Beardsley. He said, "Scotty and Sal, come to Seattle. I will make sure you walk away with a bottle of scotch for the gang at Around Comics. I am one of the attending artists, and I have been enjoying your podcast for quite a while now. Just a little thank you for all the hard work, Brian."
Cool.
All right.
Thank you.
I might go.
Bring me something, because I don't drink scotch, so bring me something equally kick-ass.
2 liter of Mountain Dew.
Next one is from Sean McLaughlin. I don't know. He said, "Hi, guys.
French Canadian.
At the end of the day, the real aftershocks of the One More Day debacle can be seen in the comic stores themselves. So putting all the hardcore fan griping from December aside, here's a real-world situation from my local comic store, Fanatics, in Dayton, Ohio.
Nice
My shop order has always moved about 100 issues of combined Marvel U Spidey comics per month. 50 Amazing, 30 Friendly, 20 Sensational. And that's before read orders or second printings, which he would also move pretty quickly. His diamond contact and requisite Marvel Communications had been touting for months that the Weekly Amazing would help him triple his sales, meaning that he would order a minimum of 50 Amazing per week for a total of 150, but the new status quo and marketing push would move his sales closer to the 200 range. Sounds good. Well, he ordered 100 of the first issue of Brand New Day, also due in part to the promo cover retailers would get for 100 order. Needless to say, there are 74 still on the shelf as of today, and a big 50% off sign hung over them. Brand New Day weeks 2 and 3 have sold 13 and 15 units respectively.
Well, that was a failure.
I mean, the Marvel marketing plan doesn't say they're going to actually physically create people to walk into a store.
Mark, standing right here.
One person dropped the book.
Mark, speaking to the microphone instead of just lurching in the background.
Ominous motherfucker.
I've had one person drop the book, and at least a couple add the book.
Yeah.
Okay.
I sell more than this guy, and I would not have ordered like twice what I order normally. That's just
a bone. Don't be mean to the guy.
Yeah.
It's my job. I'm a
Mark's
going to
eat his baby.
I'm just saying. He did his own over-ordering. So he wasn't thinking too straight on this one. But the book has not dropped in sales.
Depending on the size of the town.
It's nice to have a book that comes out three times a month that sells as much as Amazing does.
Yeah.
But wait, okay, so
you're selling You're selling the same numbers as the as Amazing was before the weekly, but you're selling it three times a week.
Exactly.
Wow.
Three times a month.
I mean,
I said when this first happened, I said this is the first time I've actually been happy with something Marvel did.
So it completely worked for you.
Oh, yeah.
It's doing fantastic for you.
I get a good seller three times out of a month.
So this guy ordered 100. The first time, but he normally sells 100 for the month.
He normally sells 100 combined,
Spiders.
Amazing, Friendly, and Sensational. So he figured he would be selling more because it was a big event.
So he ordered what he would have sold in a month for 1 week?
Yes, I guess. Yeah, that's what it sounds like. Well,
I'm sorry. Guess what? I know a store that sold 500 copies.
Yeah, I mean, it's not a very, it's not a very scientific...
Yeah.
I mean, it doesn't matter.
As we find out, Mark is... For him, it's doing great.
Yeah, because that's the other thing. I mean, we're talking about a million X factors here. Who knows his customer base? Is his customer base strictly... Maybe his customer base is the majority subscription base. I mean...
He said he was ordering 50 to begin with. 50 normally, and he only sold 25. Why was he ordering 50? Why would he have ordered 100? I mean, literally, I can't figure his number.
Well, I mean, what?
Obviously, it's
I appreciate the email.
Yeah,
but
thanks for the email.
Yeah, I don't.
Wrong.
Wrong.
All right, last one.
We didn't mean to be mean to him because it's not his shop.
It's not his shop. Yeah,
right.
It's not mean to you. It's just
no.
So don't be writing no email. Talk about how Scotty makes everybody here mean.
No, it's fucking Scotty. It's just about the fact that like individual shops are gonna. I walk in here and stuff sells out here.
Yeah,
that blows my mind.
Yeah, or,
I can't believe some of the shit that sells out here.
Or stuff that people. I'm like. Where people are like, no one's buying this book, but Northlanders, there's no copies of Northlanders.
No copies of Northlanders, and I don't know why Texas Chainsaw Fucking Massacre as it sold out, or Freddy versus Jason versus Ash is not sold out.
I mean, it's like whatever.
I mean, that's a crime.
Speed Racer sold out.
Whatever store you shop at has its own culture of like who goes there and who shops there and who.
I mean, I guess it. I mean, what he's saying is that you know Marvel sit here and told him that it was going to do great for him, and so he ordered more.
Marvel
than
says
he would.
That. About
everything.
Any company sells out
about anything. But
hey, I'm going to sell a product, and guess what? It's going to be real hot. You should buy a lot of them.
I will.
I guess it all just depends on. I mean, there's obviously a lot of people that are not happy with the whole Spider-Man thing.
Of course, really?
But
I have not seen it. I haven't seen or heard any of that.
I mean, I don't. So far, I've read the brand new day issues that came after One More Day, and they've been good Spider-Man stories. They've just been good. You know what I mean? So it's like people are so pissed off because Joe Quesada got what he wanted, and they hate him so much because he's the face of Marvel that will refuse to buy something.
I just care so little about it and the vitriol. Like, really, if you're so angry about it, why would you ever...
Everybody just wants to feel like they're in the decision-making process. Like, they're all bitching because they have a say and it wasn't listened to.
Right.
You know?
I mean, well, it's the problem. I mean, we've talked about it before. Yeah. It's like people buy comics and then they have an ownership of it.
It's just like, you know, there's lots of books I buy that I don't like the direction they go. And I just don't read them anymore.
Well, yeah, there's lots of everything. Like I said, I mean, I was reading Jumper. I got to the end and went, oh, that didn't go where I that didn't go where I needed to go. But... who cares?
Is there any in there? Sorry. I'm fighting
Christ.
For a beer from
all right,
Tom.
I was kidding.
Next email. Let's go to the fucking next email.
All right. This one
last
is
just
one.
Going. We're just
last
rolling.
One.
This
let's,
is from
let's
Bill.
Finish.
This is the last one.
Mm-hmm.
Bill said, I was laughing so hard when you guys brought up the Wisconsin Werewolf Show. I didn't see it, but I'm from Wisconsin and remember seeing stories of the Walworth County werewolf on the news when I was growing up. Some friends of mine actually went to hunt it with some Skittles or some shit. Skittles? Who hunts werewolves?
I guarantee there's either A, pot, or B, alcohol involved in that hunt
and a Buffy episode somewhere in there.
Over the years, I did find other info on the WCW in Monsters of the World.
I do like that acronym. Though.
Type books.
That's Tom Cruise shit.
But it's no Loch Ness bullshit, so no one's heard of it. For the good of... all of us, I'd say. Also, I love that Tom is a fellow skeptic and can also contest that the Skeptic's Guide to the Universe is a great podcast. That was from Bill, so there you go.
You know what I really like? when I'm at work now, what I like to do is I like to listen to the Skeptic's Guide to the Universe, and I like to listen to Art Bell.
Oh God,
like, it's such like a complete 180 that I find it really entertaining to put my mind in those two, like to hear
opposite ends.
Yeah,
of the
very
spectrum
opposite
there.
Ends of the spectrum.
I've got to find some good podcasts because I tried to find some this week, and it is rough and tumble out there.
I found some good ones.
Did you
send me
the links? Because I listened to a couple this week. I don't want them to be comic book related.
I've stopped listening to ours. No, I'll send you a couple.
Yeah, send me a couple because I attempted this week. Like I tried a movie one, and I was so excited because they had great topics. Like they did an hour and a half show on David Fincher, an hour on J.J. Abrams, and all these great topics. And they're just unbearable. These two dudes. Like I'm going to quote a saying. Man, if that doesn't happen again for a while, it'll be way too soon.
I don't understand
what does that even mean? I think you're missing a number or something.
If that doesn't happen again for a while,
that'll be way too soon.
I guess it's your definition of a while.
Really? That's what I mean. That should be a number, I think, of some sort.
Some length of time.
If that doesn't happen again for a while, that'll be way too soon. Like they want.
I think what he's trying to say is if that never happens again, that'll be way too soon.
I knew what he was reaching for. And then when he said that, I just turned it off. Like, ah, you fucking retard.
Ebert and Roper, just great, just full of shit.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
I'm just making a joke.
Yeah, this guy. I mean, Roper. Because that's what it was like.
I like Roper.
They were trying. Of course, I think it's two film wannabe makers. Now, of course, I'm not a person to diss somebody who has a dream.
I'm a comic book maker, wannabe maker.
Okay. Good on ya. Sometimes I get frustrated. Like, I love that people have the dream. I just don't like it when people have the dream and talk about it and never go and even attempt it.
To do it.
Right? You know what I mean? Like, and I don't get me wrong, because I was that guy as well, working, waiting tables all day, coming home, calling off work, making no money, sitting there broke. So I'm not looking down on anybody, but when you are sitting there trying to listen to a podcast by a couple guys who are authorities, quote unquote, you know, my air quotes, right, authorities on something, yet they will not actually go after what they're authority on. And then not being able to actually intelligently talk. Like I said,
there's never a shortage of critics in the world.
I don't ever see that. I've been doing it
the last 2 years.
But so, if I don't ever see that again for a while, that'll be a biscuit short of a dollar.
I've been listening to a lot of I really like The Best Show on WFMU, which is just like a community radio. It's the guy who's the script supervisor for Monk. And he's pretty funny. He's kind of weirdly abrasive, but I found the show really addictive because it has like these people that always call in. Like there's a mix of real people and fake callers. And the real people sometimes are really – you start to recognize them and it becomes – it's sort of like soothing to listen to because it's really weird. Like my girlfriend one time walked in and she's like, why are you listening to this? And I was like – just listen to it for a while. And then after a while, she's like, yeah, I could see why you like it. Because it's really funny. And then they also have the drummer from...
Def Leppard?
No, not. It's from some... forget which band it is. Calls in and he does fake... He pretends to be people like Glenn Danzig.
Jesus.
And it's funny. It's an interesting thing
what
to
is,
listen to.
What is it called?
The Best Show on WFMU.
The Best Show. Okay. Yeah. I'll have to check.
It's like 3 hours long.
How often?
Every Tuesday.
Okay.
It's like from 7 to 10.
I listen to Radio Lab, which is New York public radio show. It's sort of a science
podcast,
but it's really well produced. I mean, it's so slickly done. I mean, it's just very well put together and entertaining. I mean, they talk about shit that shouldn't really be entertaining, but they make it entertaining.
Yeah.
What else? I don't know. I don't really listen to any entertainment podcasts because
I listen to the Basketball Jones.
What is that?
It's like an NBA podcast, but they're really funny.
Are they good?
And they do like a 20-minute one every day.
I've tried listening to a couple of like there's these two dudes from Philly or New Jersey that do a show I think they're radio guys, like morning or afternoon radio dudes, and then they do this podcast like every day.
Yeah.
And it's just them talking, taking calls, and but it's just not that.
I try to stay like I've learned through my searches that I am from now on staying away from anything that is actually focused on one topic, because I find that it can go either way. It gets stale incredibly quick because they're just talking about the same thing over and over, or they're way, way too into that topic for me to be able to like
identify.
Try a Star Wars podcast. Okay. I actually tried one of those. Wow. You know what I mean? Like, so it's like it could go either way with like the super focused, or like, you know, or I'm like, ooh, I like this show or that show. I'll listen to a podcast about that show. And then you're like, oh, you just want to call them up and be like, it's not real.
See, I'm trying to think of
right, like Echo has a British accent.
The show, I listen to Best Show, probably the only comic book one. I don't even listen to ours because I'm here when we record.
You son of a
bitch. Listen to the Monday one because I don't hear all of it. I listen to.
You don't hear all the cool stuff I put in there in between and at the end. And,
oh, I guess not.
Bastard.
I guess I should start.
No.
I listen to iPad.
I don't really do any of that.
Basketball Jones is one of my favorite ones.
I want to look in my.
I don't even like the NBA that much, but they're really funny. And it's really fun to listen to them.
You don't love this
stuff.
Game?
I don't. I just think they're really funny to listen to. And it's nice. And I've been doing a podcast about the Justice League of America.
That's right. Why are you just.
You have another podcast?
Yeah.
He's doing it on his own.
Well, I know you're doing a blog. Oh, you're doing your own.
Yeah, because I was doing a blog where I was writing about each issue as I was writing, as I was reading, because I just thought it'd be kind of a fun thing to like read every, you know, read all the issues in order and then like write a little review of them. Then it became too hard. It was so long to write them because I'm really anal about like editing it. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I should
just do it,
like an 8-minute podcast, like a 9-minute podcast, and get over it. So I've been doing it.
Let's just put it on our feed from now on.
No, I don't want it.
You want
because
it?
It's not.
He wants his own. He wants to fly on his own.
Oh, all right.
I like my own little world where I only have
three listeners.
Yeah, no, I have like 50 listeners, and I'm totally fine with that because I just like doing it.
Right,
I think it's fun to.
Did I say on the show about my other show?
No.
That I'll be starting?
No.
Oh, mine's called Tom versus the Justice.
With Casey?
No, you've never talked about it. I mean,
you talked about it on the show?
I don't think so. Maybe you did.
Yeah. The Devil in Me is going to be... Casey has been bugging me since before I even knew of your show. Ever since she listened to the Gilmore Girls podcast, which featured a husband and wife team.
I think we talked about this. Yeah.
You're not married.
This podcast had a husband and wife, asshole.
Dickweed.
Yeah. Fuck stick. And asshole. Ever since she listened to that podcast, she just thought they were oh so cute together and has bugged me to do a podcast with her.
So what is it going to be?
Nothing. It'll just be us
two
talking.
Of you talking?
Right now I have a little...
Will she be able to actually physically talk?
Yeah, I talked about it. I brought that incident up. Yeah, I brought that incident up. Well, remember, because we put it on... that's not here. I put up a thing. I put up a second blog, like on my blog, so you can find it. The Devil...
Devil and Me.
Yeah, Devil and Me.
That's a cool name.
And
who's the devil?
I don't know. and... The tagline is what living with someone for 8 years sounds like. That's the podcast. So I think that I
can
believe,
I come on it sometime?
Absolutely. She already said that. She said I have special friends that I am bringing on.
Special friends.
Yeah, and I was like, that's awesome because maybe you know like I like that shit. You know. But
that's gonna be a sexy.
Yeah.
Podcast.
So yeah. That's. But that. I think that's gonna be the.
Jeez, everybody's got other podcasts. I'm gonna start a fucking another podcast.
The Devil and Me, and it's gonna be. I want it to be. We'll obviously we're a couple and we've been together for a long time, and so that stuff will come up. And I think we probably have a lot of listeners of the show out there that probably have. You know, we just want to
relationship.
Kind of, yeah. I mean, I don't want to say it's a relationship show.
Right. Right.
But it's gonna. I mean,
naturally, it will.
It'll end up being a lot about like if we're watching about this movie and what, you know, we're going to have different tastes and it's going to...
Sure. She says, I think it's funny that Scotty's doing a show with a woman and I'm doing a show about comic books I'm reading by myself.
Yes, yes. I like how he's taking a break from his comic book podcast to do a comic book
show even more about comic books.
So, all right.
It's like 8 minutes long.
I'm doing the Tunnels
the tunnel podcast.
Fire in the hole.
By myself. Fuck all you guys.
All right, let's wrap this.
All right,
let's wrap this puppy up.
I guess that's enough for
get
one
an omelet.
Night. Thanks to everybody for being here.
Yeah,
with you guys. Not Chris because he was too sick. Thanks to Mark for hosting us. Want to remind everybody that this episode is sponsored by InStockTrades.com. Go there and buy stuff. That's about it. So we'll see y'all again next week. Maybe we'll do the club next week, hopefully. And finally talk about SLC Punk.
Finally.
The Misfits.
I might have to rewatch that movie. I watched it a while ago.
Really, really interested in what everybody thinks about the album more than anything else.
Really?
Yeah.
I killed a baby today.
Because I mean, I still to this day, I was listening to that on the way here.
Yeah.
Because I thought we were talking about the book. And
we'll hold off on that discussion.
No, I know. I'm not going to get into it. But I still like get into it listening to it even now. But so
I find music to be music is the most intriguing form of entertainment because of music is one of those art forms that really means like it means something so much to you that 2 years down the line can mean nothing to to the person after you. You know, like I don't think there's any. I mean, movies you tend to be able to bridge and last and become, but there's something and usually and sometimes it even music won't hit somebody till years, you know, years and years later. Like they'll, you know.
So you're saying you didn't care for it?
No. I'm just, Jesus Christ.
It's just like a weird time.
It's okay.
It's a weird time thing where like sometimes music that isn't from even your
taste,
time
bad.
Period, all of a sudden you weirdly connect to, and then it falls out, and then you find something else from a different
time. That's
why
I said it's so intriguing because there's no possible way to pinpoint it. Like there will
what
be
somebody is going to get
into. Yeah, because of what, like,
or when or
what that CD means to you now because of what it meant to you when you discovered it.
Right.
And your age and that time or things like you never know when something like, well, Hendrix, for example, right? There was a time in my life where I just thought Hendrix was noise.
Yeah.
And it wasn't until later where I actually realized, like, oh my God, this guy is a genius.
Well, you know, Sal just walked away, so that means the show is not ending.
Oh!
The Devil Inside.
The Devil Inside.
We're sort of doing like
Devil
a...
Inside.
You walked away, so the show couldn't end.
Yeah.
All
right,
let's wrap up.
This is going insane directions. Thank you, everybody. Thank you.
Thanks for listening.
That was the ending.
Leave iTunes, and we are sponsored by people. Goodbye.
Jesus Christ.
That was the ending.
That will be everywhere...
In and around comics. With no host.
With no,
no fucking
hope.
Direction.
No direction. No hope. No rudder.
No hope.
Fuck
Where's
Putin!
Where's the captain?
Where's the captain?
If you would like to suggest a topic, send us your comments, or are interested in becoming a panel member, email us at info@aroundcomics.com or visit the Contact Us section of our website. Music for the show provided by the Podshow Podsafe Music Network, music.podshow.com. Views expressed in the interviews or by guests of the show are solely those of the individuals expressing them and do not reflect the opinions of Around Comics. All content of this episode is the sole property of Around Comics. Around Comics is a Pipe Dream production, copyright 2008, all rights reserved. Thank you for listening today, and remember to join us next time when the panel will change, but our mission will stay the same, bringing you the very best news, reviews, and opinions in and around comics. One more time.